You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Francisco Giants. I am Allison Twitter from MLB.com, and I'm here with my colleague Chris Haft, covers the Giants for MLB.com. And Chris, I found it interesting. I was reading some of your coverage, and you were talking about the starting rotation and how that was going to shake out. And you sort of alluded to the fact that you were a little bit surprised that Ryan Vogelsong's name hadn't come back up in the wake of Tim Hudson's injury. I don't know if you were foreshadowing, if you had like some inside scoop, but all of a sudden, not too long later, he did re-engage with the Giants and signed. So that probably didn't come as any big surprise. I mean, it's sort of a logical move, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yes, Allison, especially once Hudson and once Hudson's injury cropped up, even though the Giants are saying he's going to be ready for opening day, at his age, which is 39, nothing's a sure thing. And they could get Vogelsong back, a guy, a known quantity, for a relatively low price as insurance in case something happens with Hudson, with Lincecum, who's trying to regain his form, with King, who's overcoming not one but two surgeries, one to his elbow and one to his ankle, in case Jake Peavy keeps on pitching like he did in the postseason last year. So there's a lot of ifs in that rotation. And, Vogelsong was obtained to maybe reduce some of the uncertainty.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, when you list all of those, we've talked about it a lot this offseason and just how many uncertainties do surround the starting rotation. I mean, Vogelsong, everyone was kind of bidding him a fond farewell. And it's really not just Hudson that they have to protect themselves against. And it's all about, providing depth. But now when you talk like that, it almost seems surprising that it took, like, Hudson's situation for them to get the ball rolling. It was, or maybe I'm off on that. Maybe it was like a combination, but it just seemed like his name wasn't coming up that much in the offseason, if at all.
Yeah, no, it was a combination of things. His name wasn't coming up too much. I think, three or four teams had interest, but he was always like the second choice pretty much everywhere, or even the third choice at places like Arizona, Houston, what have you. Minnesota, his name came up there early on, but that was just, I don't think there was anything really to that at that time. He is a serviceable pitcher. He made the All-Star team in 2011, National League All-Star team. He can, when things are going right, he can be a 500 or so pitcher. And this day and age, that's the kind of guy who plugs in pretty well in the backs of pitching rotations.
And he's said on the record, and I guess, I mean, he seems to be a guy who is, pretty versatile and will do whatever the team wants of him. I mean, there is a chance that he could actually move to the bullpen. And so I guess that those are things that have to be worked out ahead of time when they're talking. I mean, it wasn't just that he was, he was in Houston apparently, like, taking a physical. So, I mean, who knows really where the... like how the timeline worked out, but all the reports were coming out of Houston that he was in town, and then it was just really weird because he was saying to some of the media here, like, well, I'm not really ready to comment on this. And I mean, it was just kind of strange that he was like taking their calls and yet telling them that he wasn't really prepared to say anything. It was one of those like really odd situations. But I guess going back to San Francisco, knowing that he could be relegated to the bullpen was still maybe more attractive than maybe going somewhere else.
Yeah, I guess he'd rather pitch in the bullpen in San Francisco than start somewhere else. It is interesting what happened with Houston. I guess he talked with A.J. Hinch, and maybe somebody smacked his gum at the wrong time, I mean, I don't know what it was, but I've been told I'll get the full story, but not yet, not now.
Well, when you do get the full story, you have to tell us because I'm dying to know also. I'm really glad. I mean, there's great things about pitching everywhere and, just being on a major league team. And certainly finances have a lot to do with, like, where guys go. But I'm glad that Vogelsong understands that, there's a pretty good thing going on there in San Francisco. And sometimes you just want to stick with what you know, especially when it's, the Giants. But moving on, it's also interesting – just from like talking a little bit about who will be the leadoff hitter, and of course Angel Pagan, it looks like he's going to continue to do that. But it's also, again, you have to have insurance. You have to have plan A, plan B, plan C. I think a lot of people sort of don't understand the importance of having depth. And when you have people with injury histories or inconsistencies or whatever, you can't just slot them in and not have something that, you know, might be a better option throughout the season. So they signed Nori Aoki, which I thought was a great signing. And he could also possibly slide into the leadoff spot. Is that something that you think that they'll kind of play around with at spring training?
Exactly, Allison. I think they will play around. Bruce Bochy will play with it in spring training, see who, fits. And it may not be a 162-game thing. It may be, 80 games, 85 games, Aoki, 75 games, Pagan, or, just some combination of the two. At least Bruce has options now, or one very good option, with Aoki if Pagan, who's missed big chunks of the last two seasons with injuries, if he goes down again.
Yeah, I liked that signing. I thought it was kind of funny he had just played them in the World Series, but I remember it kind of reminded me just like not of the offensive production, but Carlos Beltran when he was traded to Houston 10 years ago, and he just like had this great postseason, and then of course he. The contract that he ended up signing was largely based on the postseason he had. And I just think Aoki, his defense and his speed was just amazing. And I think we all were able to see that a little bit more in October. I think his stock kind of rose through that, and that probably helped him with this contract.
Oh, sure. The Giants didn't do a whole lot. They tried to get people to take their money. I know it's a kind of a cynical way of saying it. Earlier in the offseason with Pablo Sandoval and John Lester, but at least here, in this situation, they, as Brian Sabian put it, they spread their money around a little bit differently, maybe in a little more modest fashion, but as a result, they got a serviceable player. So, and maybe a couple more with if you count McGeehee, and the only other significant player newcomer they've brought in. But it'll just be interesting to see how it all plays out.
I thought the list of the non-roster invites was interesting, just because like nine of their top prospects are in that mix. I know that teams usually invite a couple of their top prospects. Is this normally how they do it, where they have so many guys that are really considered kind of the future of the organization be in big league camp, or is this kind of a little bit different than what they used to do?
In my experience, Allison, which is somewhat limited, but still, since I started covering them, they have not hesitated to bring their top prospects into camp. And I remember in 2005, Matt King was there. It's just as serious as can be. And sure enough, we saw him that August. In 2006 or 2007, Tim Lincecum showed up in camp, all nice and polite and quiet and unassuming and everything. And while all the Barry Bonds hype was swirling around him, it took just a little more than a month before we saw Lincecum in the San Francisco uniform. So, they want to get a look at these guys. They didn't get... They got a little bit of a look at some of them last year, not all, and I think they want to, with a rotation that's kind of getting long in the tooth, they want to see what they've got.
So it's not just a matter of giving these guys big league experience so much. It's not like getting their feet. Well, I mean, that's part of it, is just kind of getting them around the environment and understanding how Major League spring training works and getting them around the veterans. But they could actually make a little bit of an impression, even if they don't make the team right out of spring training.
I think that opportunity is there, yes. Especially for guys like Clayton Blackburn and Chris Stratton, Ty Block, and of course, Kyle Crick, number one prospect, who's a little younger than the other guys, but he could come in a hurry.
Do you remember years ago when the Rockies had, 80 guys in spring training? They invited 25 pitchers. Do you remember that?
I I'm laughing because no, I don't remember that, but I'm laughing because I remember some, and we both have this experience, Allison, covering the Astros. Way back when, I remember they had like 67 or 70 guys in camp. You know, just, it was, oh gosh, it was like open tryouts or something. But, you know, some teams, I mean, for me, you know, I don't know what they need with 22 more guys in camp, but I mean, there are people they want to get a look at. So, this is the time to do it. And so they're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, but, I mean, I understand all that, but at the same time, I mean, there were guys that pitched like a third of an inning, like the entire spring, and then got released. I mean, there's still several years ago, Brad Mills, when he started managing the Astros, they had like four split squad games or something. It's like they had all these guys they wanted to look at, and it was absolute chaos. And at some point, you have to cut it off because you still have your regular guys that are actually going to be on a team that have to get innings in, and – yeah, I don't know. It was just a mess because guys were pitching a third of an inning and then they were done. And I don't know that anything was really accomplished from that rocky spring. But anyway, I'm just getting off on a tangent. So I want to Richard Justice had a cool column on MLB.com about Brian Sabian, just the, like what he does, like what makes him such a good general manager. And there's really so many intangibles that come along with being a GM. So you have, you know, you have to wear a lot of different hats, but well, just through your years of covering the Giants and with Brian Sabian, like, what is it? Does he have a magical touch? Is he just like really patient? Is he not a panic guy? Is he, you know, he just seems to know when to make the right moves and when not to make a move. And what is it about him that makes him a good general manager?
Allison, I think you hit it with the patience. You know, everybody feels the urgency come trade deadline time. He tries to stay as calm as possible. He almost always does something, whether it's getting rid of somebody or acquiring somebody useful. But he does it, but he never feels like he has to do something at that time. Even if there's a great need, you know, he's not going to let the urgency overcome or overwhelm him. He's able to keep things in perspective. He does have patience. I've seen him with players who I thought he was going to go send them to the minors after they fouled up something, and he just actually would just go over and just talk to him, calm him down, say, hey, it's okay, you're still our guy. That's a sign of Brian Sabian that probably nobody ever sees because it happens behind closed doors. You know, in the clubhouse. But, and I think there, you know, sure, some other GMs are probably just as quote unquote touchy feely, but, you know, Brian combines that, you know, with sound baseball knowledge, with good advice from his, you know, assistants, and, you know, he's made the whole thing work. I mean, he's not infallible. He's made a couple bad trades and, you know, maybe a ill-advised move here or there, but for the most part, it's a high-risk business. He's cut down on the risks.
Yeah, and there's no such thing as, you know, unlimited job security in the industry where we work, but I think that if anybody has it, it's probably a general manager who's won 3 World Series in the last 5 years. So he's sitting in a pretty good seat right now. Anyway, Chris, thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.